You know, as Deacon Diane was reading that Holy Gospel, you know, when Jesus speaks of a place, how it is that having been to Israel twice, in my mind I'm transported there. I can remember in 2014, just 2 weeks before coming here to visit y'all for the first time, Marilyn and I, with the 19 people that we led to Israel, stood in the ruins of Chorazin. We went to Capernaum and Bethsaida, and there's really nothing left. And that really speaks. One day, there won't be much left of Douglas unless we're more faithful than those people. It is ironic that the town that Jesus spoke from, Capernaum, was the place that he called his headquarters. And it was from here that he sent out 72 other people to heal and preach. And he told them this: the kingdom of God is near you. That goes for Capernaum. That goes for Bethsaida. That goes for Chorazin. That goes for Douglas and Coffee County and beyond. He knew that everyone in the kingdom of God has a responsibility to witness about him to others. He knew that his time was growing short at this point and that he would be leaving this earth. And the only way people would know and hear about his love for them, his sacrifice for them, his grace and his mercy and his love for them, would be for his disciples, his followers, to tell others. And I'd say in 2,000 years, they've done a pretty good job. We're here today because somebody told us about Jesus and his love for us and what he did in their lives. And so Jesus sent them out to practice, to get a feeling for what they'd be doing when he was gone. And Jesus never told his disciples, he tells us it's not going to be easy witnessing for him. He tells the disciples that they are like lambs in the midst of the wolves. And he tells them what to say to people when they accept them. And then he also tells them what to say when people reject them. Because not everyone was going to accept the good news and the redemption of his kingdom. But what we need to remember today in 2019, in Douglas, Georgia, in Coffee County, is that Jesus wanted the disciples, those 72, and us, to try to go out among people and tell others about Jesus Christ. You don't have to stand on a corner with a rolly Bible. You just have to be you and let others see what Christ has done in your life. That's witnessing to him. Jesus instructed them to travel light. Yeah, I still don't understand that if I'm going away for just a few days, why I can fill a fairly large suitcase without not a lot of room left. What it must have been like to go to Hawaii just recently, Amy going to see her son and grandson. How many bags are not free that you packed away? Because you're bringing gifts. You know, we can't travel light. You know, I'm going up to Pennsylvania in a week or so. And we've already got boxes and things that we're bringing up to the grandkids. It's amazing. Have you ever stood in an airport and watched as people go by after they're in baggage claim, claiming their bags? They've got ribbons on them and all sorts of things that identify them. And you wonder, how did they get all that stuff? And they walk away with three bags, and it's just two people. And they went away for the weekend. Been there. I don't understand how Jesus told these 72 to pack extremely light. But yet, they were obedient disciples and they did just that. His instructions to greet no one on the road showed the urgency of their prophetic mission representing God. You know, in that culture, it was offensive to withhold greetings from others. You know, we live in a culture where as you drive past somebody, they either wave or they bow their head like, hi, how are you? Well, I think that's just Southern hospitality. But in the culture that Jesus grew up in the culture that Jesus lived in, it was important to be hospitable. And devout people tried to be the first to greet a person who was approaching. Jewish teachers of the law agreed, however, that you should not interrupt your religious duties like prayer in order to greet someone. And as I talked about just a few minutes ago about our two trips to Israel, I learned about that hospitality is very important in the Middle East, even to this day. I struggle when I think of going to a strange land. It has a different language, different culture. All sorts of things are different, lots of different foods. If I'm going to be depending on the hospitality of others, it's a rude awakening. I'm a little better having been to Israel twice. Some of the unknown is gone. Like that very strange spice that they put in their meat. A hamburger is not a hamburger over in Israel. It's got that spice. Everything you eat has that spice in it. But we learn about other people's cultures. I never had hummus before. Does anybody here know what shawarma is? I didn't either until my last trip in 2014. It is awesome. It's in a pita. You have chicken and there's vegetables and there's this beautiful sauce. It was amazing. It was great. We had choices of either fish or shawarma, and I would go for the shawarma being allergic to a lot of the fish. We learn different cultures. It's amazing. A falafel? How about falafel? Have you ever had falafel? Chickpeas? They're awesome, fried up. You know, I couldn't get my kids to touch them in 1999. You really learn when you visit people of other cultures. Thousands of Anglican missionaries are walking in faith today to spread the wonder and the majesty of the gospel of Jesus Christ. All of them trying to remain obedient in faith and faithful in cultures that they might not fully understand. But they're there for one reason: to let the light of Jesus shine, showing others the way, the only way to salvation. On the night before Jesus died, in John chapter 14, Jesus is telling the disciples about heaven. He goes to prepare a place for them. And Thomas wants to know the way to get there. And so Jesus answered, and you know this, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Usually, when you're reading that or telling people about it, they cut you off before you can say, no one comes to the Father but through me. It's very nice, but we need to see the rest of what Jesus is saying. So today, I'm going to share that with you. Jesus went on to say, if you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to Jesus, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. And Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you for such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. Jesus could not make his identity any plainer so that they would understand and be able to share the absolute truth about him. Remember, in just hours, Jesus was about to be arrested, taken into captivity, and in just hours more, he would be nailed to the cross. He said, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. And just as an aside, let me say this. The 11 disciples and Matthias, who replaced Judas, were willing to die If the gospel of Jesus Christ was a fabrication, meaning they had made it up, do you think they'd be willing to die the terrible deaths that they did? So Jesus sends the 72 and other missionaries, the model which he sends or showed us, healing the sick and praying. Jesus performed miracles so that people would believe in him. And he asks us to do the same. In fact, in John 14, verses 12 to 14, Jesus explains, "I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it." When Jesus makes that promise that if we ask for something in his name, he will do it, it is in the context of bringing people to faith. Jesus didn't do miracles to prove who he was. He did miracles to share his love. He had compassion and mercy. Wanted to touch the leper, and he was instantly healed. Wanted to be touched by the woman who had the bleeding issue. Wanted to raise Jairus' daughter from the dead. Not to prove who he was. He did it in the quiet of a room. He did it because of his compassion and love. He still does that today. Not only are we to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with others, we need to be trusting in the power and promise of Jesus. A great way to start is to take home our Sunday bulletin. Inside, in Parish Life, there is a prayer list. These are the people in our family that need prayer. I get emails from people that are sitting in this room today asking me to put people's names on the list. And then they tell me of the wonderful things that happened because of prayer. I could tell you of things that had happened just this week, of God's answering prayer in a merciful and wonderful way. Take this home. Take the bulletin home with you. And I ask you one thing. Please pray those names. That Parish Life fits beautifully on a refrigerator with a little magnet. When you're having your cup of tea or coffee in the morning or hot cocoa or whatever you might be having throughout the day, sit down and ask God to do something wonderful for those names. You can do it anywhere you want. In your home, your office. Even in your car, if you're parked, not going to be driving, reading the list. Use the prayer list, please. People are usually deeply touched knowing that we would care enough to pray for them. Prayer touches the hearts of people. And all the arguments in the world may not touch a person's heart, but a personal prayer will. When we pray for people, the first thing that we should do is invite the Holy Spirit to come and to touch them. He will. And they will have an experience of the presence of God. That's one of the greatest gifts that you could give to someone. Today, as I mentioned earlier, we begin using our brand new Book of Common Prayer, the 2019 Anglican Church in North America Book of Common Prayer. It's filled with psalms and prayers that can truly bless you or others. The ones in your pews have been given to the church as a memorial from the family and friends of Martha Griffin Evans. And you can use them here in church. If you want to purchase a copy for your own use, there's a clipboard on the back table back just behind Jeanette. And I've already ordered quite a few, and I'll be delivering some to some folks, and I've already delivered some to some of the people in this room. They are magnificent. You see the ones that are in your pew? This is the deluxe version, and it's for a liturgist, or if you want to be able to sit with something that's gilded in gold and has the fancy faux leather, your choice. You can, if you don't want to buy a copy for yourself, go out to our website and you can download one. in a PDF that you can scan through and read and save on your computer or your smart device. Jesus asks us to be blessing our neighbors, developing relationships with them. Many of you are here today because someone told you about St. Andrew's Anglican Church, about the amazing parish family that we have, with a peace that goes on forever. We can be, if we show Jesus' love to others, we can be just like Peter on the day of Pentecost. And he had all those people wondering what was going on with these strange noises coming out of their mouth. Languages and tongues of fire that were above their heads. And Peter got up and said, "This is God, and this is what he wants to say to you." And that day, 3,000 people came to believe in Jesus and were baptized. 3,000 people. Jesus is not pressuring you to go out and stand on a street corner and proclaim the gospel, but he's asking you to live the gospel and to, as we read earlier, love your neighbor as yourself. It's from Matthew chapter 22, verse 39. Please don't worry if the message is not received by others, for this is not something new. Jesus said to those 72 what to do if they were not received. The spiritual battle has been going on since the very beginning. And as believers in Jesus Christ, just walk away and continue to live your life as a Christian, sharing with those who will accept his message. My brothers and sisters in Christ, take confidence that Jesus has given you the authority to overcome all the powers of the enemy. He said nothing will harm you. Be assured that Jesus is with you and for you. For the kingdom of God is near you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.